and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying about personal evangelism. And today I'd like for us to look at the seed. And you know, there must be a starting point for personal evangelism. And I believe that personal evangelism begins on our knees in prayer. In our prayer closet, this would be some time that we are alone or we get by ourselves and we just pray. And we see the importance of prayer when we get into the Word of God. We need to pray that the Word of the Lord might have free course. In other words, that it be unhindered and that it would be glorified. There's going to be opposition whenever a believer is faithful in presenting and preaching Jesus Christ. And Paul simply says that when we pray that may God's word run and do its work, and God, may you take care of the opposition. Our God is total sufficient, in other words, for every problem that you and I will ever face. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul says this, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." There's going to be opposition, but Paul says we need to pray to stop that opposition. He continues in verse 2, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." We need to pray. There is a starting point, and the starting point for us is to get on our knees and to pray. We're to pray for men, all women. We're to pray that they would receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Well, there may be those individuals in our life that even government or whatever, maybe even in our family that really tries to mistreat us or try to do something wrong. And we need to pray for them. It makes no difference who they are. They need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this is personal evangelism. When we get personal and we get into prayer and we pray for the people around us and the people that we're going to come into contact with, pray for all people. Well, there's such a thing in the Word of God that we need to look at called the seed. In Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 11, we're going to look at that in just a moment. But in personal evangelism, it's important to maintain a certain outlook. Many start out with great enthusiasm, but often get discouraged and apathetic. This can happen even to those who are highly skilled in teaching others. People get discouraged. There are wrong ways of looking at things. With a wrong outlook, many personal workers eventually lose heart. And before long, evangelistic efforts dwindle and, in some cases, stop altogether. We see this in many churches today. There are outlooks that are especially crucial to maintaining high levels of enthusiasm and persistence in evangelism. There are certain things we can learn from the parable of the sower that we're going to look at in just a moment that can help remove discouragement and prevent the apathy that paralyzes so many today. Well, the parable can also instill enthusiasm in serving as laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 11. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, now this is speaking about Jesus Christ, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Luke chapter 8, and let me stop just a moment. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8, in those verses, we've seen the parable itself. Now, notice, and his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Now, he's going to explain it. And he said, unto you it is given to know mysteries, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not understand. Well, the relation of the parable is found in verses 11 through 15. We're going to read that. But let me say that he said it's given to you to see. We see things in the Word of God that the unsaved people can't see, because we're born of God. We're born of the Spirit of the Lord. We have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us. And so the Bible says that the Spirit will lead us into all truth. And we see certain things. And we can understand things that the unsaved people cannot understand. But one thing they can understand, and that is they need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's where personal evangelism comes in. Now, verse 11 of Luke chapter 8 goes on to say this, and the rest of the verses through verse 15, starting with verse 11 now. Jesus explains the parable. He says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Well, we need to learn this. The power is in the seed. In other words, the Word of God. And the power is explained, and the Word of God has always been capable of influencing people, accomplishing its intended purpose. Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11 says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. We give out the word, and we pray that the word of God is not going to be hindered. We pray that the word of God goes forth with the power that the Holy Spirit has given us to deliver it. And we need to depend upon the word of God. We need to depend upon the Holy Spirit to plant the seed into the heart of other individuals. We're the sower. We are the ones planting the seed. And we need to be doing that on a regular basis. Well, the author of Hebrews wrote that the seed, the word, is both alive and powerful. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, we see the importance of power, that it is used properly, when it is used properly. If people are going to be truly converted, it will not be through smooth speech or fancy presentations involving high-tech equipment, but through the life-changing truth of the gospel. We can certainly use modern aids to present the gospel, but we must make sure that they are faithfully communicating the word and not detracting from the word of God. Now, true conversation, which involves a spiritual regeneration, will occur only if we plant the proper seed. It may be possible that more conversations are not achieved because, or conversions, and we look at that as we converse with people, that more conversations that we have and we see very little result, more conversions are not achieved because the right seed is not being sown. But even when we plant the proper seed, the Word of God, we often do not see the desired results. Understanding the reason why more conversions are not seen helps us to maintain the right perspective. Jesus talks about this in what we've just read about the seed, the sower, and the seed. Notice the term soil, the perspective explained here. We see in the parable that the same seed, when sown, had different results. Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8 talks about this. One result was no reaction whatsoever. Two others had only temporary success. Only one seed out of the four resulted in bearing fruit. Luke 8, 15 talks about that. Well, why was there no fruit for three out of the four illustrations that Jesus used in the parable? What was to blame? Was it because of the seed? And the answer is no. Was it because of the sower? The answer is no. Because of the type of soil? Yes. You see, the seed is the Word of God, remember, and the sower, that's the people who are saved, that's you and I. The responsibility in personal evangelism belongs personally to the sower. In other words, that's our responsibility of giving out the seed. The sower fulfills his responsibility by sowing the seed. Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, Thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. That doesn't mean that we get saved by witnessing. That doesn't mean that we're going to go to hell if we do not witness. It's saying that we have a great responsibility to help an individual stay out of hell. Matthew chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says, And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now let me say this, that we can apply this to individuals. When we do our job and take our privilege, use our privilege of taking the gospel, the seed to the people, and to a person, and that person refuses to receive the seed, refuses to get saved, does not take the word of God, then you and I are to move on. We're to go to the next person and present the plan of salvation. We're to sow the seed. We're to do that. It's God who gives the increase, and we need to keep reminding ourselves of that as we go forth and sow the word of God. Our responsibility is clear as ambassadors for Christ. We are to take the gospel, we are to proclaim the gospel, and we're to be ready at all times to help other individuals come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because he is the one who saves, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Give out the word of God so that others can be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.